We are in Matthew chapter 6 today. We took last week, kind of took last Sunday off from our series about life in the kingdom from the Sermon on the Mount. Kind of detoured from that a little bit last Sunday with Thanksgiving and the focus there. But today we're getting back, kind of getting back on track and back to this series. And our scripture is found in Matthew chapter 6. We're going to be looking at verses 1 through 18. Now, we're not going to read all of that, but we're going to be drawing things out from that as we go along, the ideas and things that I feel like God really wants us to share today. Our title is Christianity in Action. Christianity in Action. And I really struggled with my approach to this message this week. There's so much. There's so much Jesus is saying here, and we could spend a lot of time, just a sermon on each of these areas. But I really felt the more that I prayed about it, and the more direction I sought, I really felt like God wanted me to give more of an overview. And I'm telling you something: after sitting through Sunday school class this morning, I just so much confirmation about how the Spirit led this week. And so we're going to look at an overview, not because the specifics, the every little detail that Jesus gets into aren't important. They are. We know that. But we're just going to kind of look at three areas today, three spiritual disciplines. Or I'm using the New International Version today, and the NIV refers to what we're going to be talking about as acts of righteousness. So we're going to be looking at three things today. We're going to be looking at giving to the needy. We're going to be looking at praying and fasting. All right, so those are the three subject areas we're going to deal with. And there's one outline. There's a basic outline that is pretty generic to all of them, because Jesus follows the same pattern when he talks about all three of these acts of righteousness or spiritual disciplines. And so here's your outline, and it's going to be on the screen, but we're going to kind of go through this outline with each area as we go along. The outline looks like this. When we talk about these acts of righteousness, we're going to look at the reasons behind them, the risk that go along with them, and the rewards that come from them. So I hope, I pray that all of it makes sense by the time we're through. So we're going to look. First of all, I want to share the first couple of verses of Matthew chapter 6 with us, because it kind of sets the stage. Here's what Jesus says: "Be careful not to do your acts of righteousness before men to be seen by them. If you do, you will have no reward from your Father in heaven." So Jesus sets the stage here by giving us that warning. Be careful not to do your acts of righteousness before men so that you can be seen by them. Because if you do, you will have no reward from your Father in heaven. So let's look at the reasons. Jesus says not to do your acts of righteousness before men so that you can be seen by them. So let's talk about this for a minute. I want us to think about the reasons why we do what we do. In our Christian life, why do we do what we do? What's the motive behind it? So we're going to look at these three disciplines and ask ourselves that question, because there can be right and wrong reasons for everything we do, right? There can be. So the first one is giving. The first thing Jesus deals with is giving, and that is, we're going to start with verse 2, Matthew chapter 6. "So when you give to the needy, do not announce it with trumpets, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and on the streets to be honored by men. I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret. And then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you." Now, there's a very common theme here. As I said, it's a very common outline, and I want us to understand this right away. Jesus says, when you give to the needy. He says that twice. Two times he uses that phrase in these few verses. When you give to the needy. He doesn't say if. He says when. Why is that important? Because we're going to look at this with all three of these: giving to the needy, prayer, and fasting. Jesus uses this same phrase for all three of these spiritual disciplines. That tells me that they're not something that Jesus saw as optional. In Jesus' mind, these three disciplines, they're just a part of the Christian life. They're just a part of the Christian faith. He just kind of assumes or takes for granted that people who are following him are going to take part in these spiritual disciplines. So Jesus is talking specifically about here about giving to the needy, those who are less fortunate. The original language here that Jesus uses refers to an act of compassion. And remember, compassion, I've talked about this before, compassion goes deeper than just simply being concerned for someone or something. Compassion means I'm concerned enough about that I'm driven to do something about it. Compassion means I take action. So why was compassion so important in Jesus' day? Because physical disabilities were very common. There were blind. There were people who were born blind. There were people who had been paralyzed and crippled since the time of their birth. I mean, this was a very common thing. And what we need to understand is that there was no government help, right? There were no government programs in place. And what medical science there was looked at very skeptically back then. It was seen in most people's minds, any kind of medical science that actually had come about was dealt with very superstitiously. I mean, they didn't have the X-ray machines and MRI machines and all the other kinds of things that we have now. So medical science was considered superstition. There was no government or welfare assistance or programs. So begging was very commonplace. This is how people who couldn't take care of themselves made a living. It's how they survived. And we see it time and time again in the Bible. So giving to someone in need was considered an act of compassion. Now, we still have those living among us, don't we? In our society, who are needy and unable to take care of themselves. And even though we have assistance programs available, there's a strong argument that the church should be taking the lead in helping meet the needs of the less fortunate among us. Isn't you know, not that this is, I realized something here, and I know I'm kind of slow when he uptakes them. Jesus asked his disciples one time, "Are you still so dull?" And sometimes Jesus reminded me of that. I have to be careful about what I say and the illustrations I use because people from my previous ministry assignments are watching these things on video, right? But I had a gentleman who was one of my church leaders. He was one of our board members, became very good friends with he and his family. His name was Dan, and when we pastored in Minot, we were sitting in Sunday school class one day, or we were talking about something, and he said, "You know, if the church was really doing what it's called to do, if we were really being the church to one another, we wouldn't need nearly as much government assistance and welfare as what we have in the world today." We're studying the book of James in Sunday school, and Steve Hostetler is leading that study for us, and we're having a great time in there. And today's this lesson today was mainly about helping people in need. What do we do? How do we determine that? Giving is vital for Christians, but it has to be for the right reason. What are the right reasons to give? The first one is it's what Jesus expects of us. He doesn't, we mentioned this, he doesn't suggest we give, he expects it. When you give to the needy, he expects it of us. Why? Because it's what he did for us. Can you think of anyone? Can you name anyone who has given more for us than Jesus did? I mean, he died on the cross. He gave everything he had. He gave his very life. So that we could be here sitting in a place like this today in worship. one of the right reasons for giving is because it's what Jesus expects. Another right reason is to help someone in need. The right reason for giving is to help provide a need that is not being met in someone else's life, that they don't have the means to take care of. Another right reason for giving can be the fact that we're just following the leading of the Holy Spirit. I can't tell you the number of times someone has asked us for help in some way. Maybe it's stopping by the church parsonage or our house and knocking on the door and asking us for help in some way. Maybe it's driving down the road and seeing someone who's stranded, their car's broken down or something, and seeing if they need help. I can't tell you the number of times that someone has come across our path that we're in need in some way. A lot of times we've helped them, but there were times that we didn't. How do you determine? How do you know when you're supposed to help and when you're not supposed to help? Why would we not just help everybody? Why would we not just give everything that someone wants? We need to understand what God's telling us to do. Simply giving someone what they ask for might not actually help them in that situation. How did we decide? How do we know when to give and what to give? By following what we feel God's telling us to do. Here's what I want us to understand today. I can't tell you how much to give. It's none of my business. I can't tell you what caused us to give to or anything like that. Here's what all of us need to know and understand and be willing to do. If God tells us to give something, just do what God tells you to do. That's all I can. It's none of my business what you give or don't give. That's between you and God. So just follow the leading of the Spirit. So those are just a few. I mean, there's all kinds of right reasons or good reasons to give, but what's the wrong reason? What's the wrong reason to do something? He tells us very plainly. The wrong reason is to bring attention to ourselves, to be seen and noticed by other people. If this is the reason, when this is the reason we give, our ultimate goal isn't compassion. Remember, giving to the needy is an act of compassion, but if this is the reason we do it, then what we're really after is attention for ourselves, not compassion towards someone else. Jesus says we shouldn't let the left hand know what the right hand is doing. Well, what's that mean? It simply means do whatever you give, do it. Do it quietly. Don't draw attention to yourself. Jesus said, don't do it to be seen of men like the hypocrites in the temple. You know, in the temple, my understanding is like, let's just use our sanctuary as an example. Along these walls, maybe where the stained glass windows are, there were different offering cups or horns, so to speak, that you could go put your offering in, and they were for different causes. And a lot of times wealthy people would do something. When they were getting ready to put their offering in, they would do something to get people's attention so that people could see them putting their money in. Jesus said, if we do that, whatever reward we've gotten, just that honor from other people is the only reward we're going to get. So Jesus tells us to give. We need to do it for the right reason. He goes on to prayer. Look at verses 5 and 6. And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by men. And I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. And then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. He goes on to teach us about prayer. He moves on from giving to the idea of praying. And now we're not going to read all of this. I know there's a lot there, and we've preached about prayer. I actually did a series some time back on the Lord's Prayer from this chapter. So, and once again, this is kind of an overview. So we're going to, once again, look at the ideas behind this. And once again, Jesus just kind of says it's a given that prayer would be an important part of our lives if we're following him. So what are the right reasons for it? The first one is this. Prayer is how we talk to God, right? It's our form of communication. It's how we talk to God. If we're going to have a relationship with God, we have to talk with him. And the way we talk with God is through prayer. Some other right reasons might include praise and thanksgiving. I mean, we're supposed to do that, right? Prayer is our time to thank God for who he is, to thank God for all he's done, praising him. Prayer, a right reason for prayer could be repentance and confession. The spiritual need, whatever the spiritual need is in my own heart and life, prayer is how I approach God and address that with him. Bringing our needs and requests to him. There's nothing wrong with that as long as we're doing it in the right spirit. Matter of fact, Jesus tells us, the Bible tells us to bring our prayers and our needs to him. Interceding on behalf of other people, that means I'm praying on behalf of someone else for something they need. Another right reason for praying, seeking wisdom and direction. That's a pretty good one. Maybe it's a job situation. Maybe you have a question about your future. Maybe there's an opportunity. Maybe there's a family situation that you don't know how to handle. Ask God for guidance. Ask God for wisdom. The Bible tells us, James chapter 1 tells us that anyone who asks, if we ask for wisdom, God gives generously without finding fault or without showing favoritism. We pray for protection, physical and spiritual. That's not an all-inclusive list by any means, but it's a start. And once again, we talk about the wrong reasons for praying. He says to be seen by men. Once again, this is a common theme through all of these disciplines. But if we pray to be seen and honored by others, our goal is to take credit or get recognition. Praying for the wrong reason could be to maybe get credit for what God does. You know, and it's interesting, this came up in Sunday school again this morning, but you realize that when we hear the word blasphemy, you realize one of the major forms of blasphemy is us taking credit or giving credit to someone else for what God does. So when we pray and God answers our prayer, we better make sure that we're giving credit and honor where it's due, and not because of what we prayed. See, Jesus tells us when we pray to go to our room or some private place and pray to our Father without anybody else knowing. This puts the focus of prayer on God, not on ourselves. Be all kinds of reasons, good reasons to pray, but I want us just to kind of get an overview of what we're talking about here. So he talks about giving to the needy. He talks about praying. And then he goes on to talk about fasting. Now, this is one of those disciplines. Once again, Jesus said when you fast. He didn't say if. Now, I know this isn't one of those that we talk about a lot in the church. I mean, I can remember the church I grew up in had a prayer and fasting group that met like once a week. They would meet over the lunch hour or something, and they had a small group of people who would get together and fast that meal, and they would pray for needs in the church or needs in the community or things like that. So it's not the most common spiritual discipline. I'm sure there are people who do it. I know there are, but it's just not something we hear a lot about. What are the right reasons for it? Well, Jesus did it. Once again, it was part of his life. I mean, Matthew chapter 4. If we look back just a couple of chapters, you'll see after Jesus' baptism, when John the Baptist baptized Jesus, he came up out of the Jordan River, and it says the Spirit immediately he was led into the wilderness to be tempted by Satan. But before that temptation, he fasted for 40 days and 40 nights. Have you ever thought about the reason for Jesus fasting? Have you ever asked yourself the question, why? We talk about why did Jesus need to be baptized. I mean, I've preached about that before. I mean, after all, he's sinless, right? He's the Son of God. He's God in the flesh. Why would he? What was the reason behind Jesus' fasting? I had never really focused on that until this week when I was studying for this. And here's one of my commentaries made an interesting comment. That's what they do, right? That's why it's called commentaries. Fasting was a way of affirming his commitment to carry out the Father's will. And it also prepared him for the temptation that he was about to face. Did you ever catch that in that scripture? Satan didn't approach Jesus to tempt him until after the 40 days of fasting was completed. And then, when Jesus had finished fasting and Satan came, Jesus had an answer. He had the strength, he had the answer, he had the wisdom to rely on the Word of God to turn away every temptation that Satan brought his way. So if Jesus needed to fast, it might be kind of an important part of our lives. Fasting, another reason for it is it helps us focus on spiritual hunger instead of the physical hunger, the physical need. Remember earlier in the series, when we first started the series, we preached from the Beatitudes. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Fasting helps us take the attention away from the physical and the material and focus on the spiritual. Another reason for fasting is it kind of goes along with prayer, seeking God's guidance. In Judges chapter 20, we see the Israelites fasting as a way to find God's will about going to battle against the enemy. And in Judges chapter 20, verse 26, they fast and they inquire of the Lord about whether they should go into battle. And God tells them plainly, yes, tomorrow you go into battle and I will deliver the enemy into your hands. Fasting is a way of strengthening our prayers. In Matthew chapter 17, we find the situation of Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration with Peter, James, and John. And after that experience is over, Jesus and those three disciples come down off the mountain. And when they get back to the village in the valley below, Jesus immediately walks into this disagreement between the rest of his disciples and a father whose young boy is possessed by a spirit that causes him to have seizures and convulsions uncontrollably. And when Jesus walks in, there's some argument going on, and Jesus asks him, what are you arguing about? And the man told Jesus, he said, I brought my son to your disciples to have them cast the spirit out, but they couldn't do it. So after a little bit of frustration and rebuke from Jesus about something about, oh, ye of little faith, how long must I put up with such an unbelieving generation, was something to the effect Jesus said. He commanded the spirit come out of the boy. The spirit came out. The boy was healed. But there's an interesting conversation that happens later, just a few verses later. Found in Matthew chapter 17, verse 21. Do me a favor. Look that up real quick, would you? I don't know what translation of the Bible you're using, but look up Matthew chapter 17, verse 21. Who has it? You have verse 21? What's it say? What translation are you using? See, it's not in mine either, because I'm using the NIV. Now, it's in the footnote, because some translations include that and others didn't. But in my mind, Jesus had to have said it at some point in order for it to be included in some translation of the Bible. So yeah, the New King James and the King James Version will have that verse in there. If you're using the NIV and some of the more current translations, you'll have to look in your footnote to find that. But when the disciples said, why couldn't we cast it out? The first thing he said was, number one, because you didn't have enough faith. But the second thing he said was because this kind only comes out by prayer and fasting. Sometimes fasting is necessary in order to strengthen our prayer life and the results that we get or don't get from it. But those are the right reasons. What are the wrong reasons? Once again, to be seen and honored by men. And to gain sympathy. See, Jesus tells them, when you fast, don't look somber like the hypocrites do. They disfigure their faces to show that men that they are fasting. But they've received their reward in full. But when you fast, put oil on your head and wash your face so that it will not be obvious to people that you're fasting, but only to your Father who is unseen. And your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. So the wrong reasons are once again, to draw attention to ourselves or to get honor for being so spiritual, right? And to gain sympathy from people. So those are the reasons. Now, quickly, we're going to look at the risk of these three same situations and disciplines. What are the risks of giving? What are the risks of praying and fasting for the wrong reasons? Well, my Wesleyan Bible commentary says that the righteous acts done for the purpose of being seen are no longer righteous. So when we do even good things for the wrong reason, we take the good away from it because we're drawing attention to ourselves instead of to God. To draw attention to our merciful deeds is hypocrisy. That's the first risk. Now, hypocrisy is a word that Jesus uses here, and it literally means a play actor. A play actor. That's what the word hypocrite that Jesus uses, the original language, that's what it means. It means to pretend to be something or someone that you really aren't. So think about that for a minute. If hypocrite means play actor, I think right now, a name's going to come to mind. Who is one of your favorite actors or actresses on television or in the movies? Just think about it. I mean, somebody's going to pop up, right? I name a few here. Tom Selleck. I like Tom Selleck. He plays in a lot of cowboy movies. He's the police commissioner on Blue Bloods. But remember Tom Selleck from the younger days when he was Magnum PI, right? Driving around the island of Hawaii in his Ferrari. Sam Elliott, James Arness, John Wayne, and I'll tell you the same thing. I got to throw this in here. I'm not sure how much acting John Wayne actually did. Sometimes I wonder if just all his roles were who he really was and he was just kind of being his natural self. I don't know. Just a suspicion. Sandra Bullock, Jack Nicholson, Robert De Niro, to name a few. But have you ever thought about what they do? Think about your favorite actor. Well, then think about what they do. They've spent their entire careers playing the roles of so many different people. They're constantly portraying themselves as someone they really aren't. It's what they get paid to do. That's what Jesus is talking about. When he uses the word hypocrite, that's exactly what he's talking about. And when we do even the right things for the wrong reason, Jesus says that's what you become. Because you're trying to put yourself off. You're trying to put up a front and present yourself as something you're not. Here's the second risk of doing things for the wrong reason. We lose the true benefit or the blessing of doing good. Back to verse 1, we read it earlier. Be careful not to do your acts of righteousness before men to be seen by them. If you do, you will have no reward from your Father in heaven. If I do even really good things, I can do so many right things, but do them for the wrong reason, and it robs me of the benefit and the blessing of the good that I've actually done. No reward from your Father in heaven. That's why Jesus says with every one of these, if we do it to draw attention to ourselves, we've already received our reward in full. So let's talk about that. Here's the last thing we're going to look at, the rewards. Jesus talks about rewards in these verses. Every one of them. You've already received your reward in full if you do it for your own glory, but if you do the way my Father wants you to do, he will reward you. There are two kinds of rewards that I see. The first one is earthly rewards. These are the things we get when we do things like giving or like praying or fasting for the wrong reasons. We might get that attention that we're looking for. I mean, we can be really good at performing. We can get good at playing church. We can become a pretty good actor. We can get the attention and the affirmation that we're looking for. We can get the applause that we're looking for. We can even earn awards and trophies for what we do. Now, I credit teen Bible quizzing for a lot of the scripture memorization and recall that I have in my own heart and mind. But let me just tell you, can I just be real honest with you? One of the reasons I got so involved in teen Bible quizzing is because I found out I was good at it and I could win a lot of trophies and awards and get a lot of recognition. That was part of my deal. You know why? Because for a long time in my life, my biggest goal was to win a trophy for something. To feel like I had accomplished something. When I went to my very first teen Bible quiz and I placed in the top 10 on the district and I got that trophy or that plaque, I thought, I mean, it was just like, all right, it's on. Here we go. But back then, that wasn't the right reason. I think all those trophies are in the trash now. I don't even know. I don't even have them anymore. You know why? Because they got tarnished and they got scratched and they got broken and so many things. That's what happens with earthly rewards. They're temporary. But Jesus says those are the only rewards we get if we do the right things for the wrong reasons. But then there's our eternal rewards. These are the rewards Jesus is talking about. The rewards that wait for us when we give for the right reason, when we pray for the right reason, when we fast for the right reasons. The rewards that wait for us in heaven, the ones that will never tarnish, never get scratched, never get broken. When we do the right things for the right reasons in a way that glorifies God instead of ourselves, these are the kind of rewards that we can achieve. This is what Christianity in action really looks like. Doing all these things in a way that glorifies and honors Him. So here's the question. What are our reasons for doing whatever we do? And if we're not doing it for the right reason, then we're playing with all the risk and things involved. And we risk receiving only the earthly rewards and not the eternal rewards. I don't know about you, but I want to live out my faith by doing the right thing for the right reason. I want to live out my faith in a way that's genuine instead of pretending to be someone or something that we're not. I want to live out my faith in a way that benefits others and brings glory to God so that I can one day reap the most important reward that any of us could ever hope for, and that's the crown of life. Scripture says our Lord will present that to us Himself, if we stay faithful, no matter what happens. That's our reward. And my prayer is that God would help us all to have that desire and that God would help all of us to live our lives in that way. Christianity in action. Doing the right things for the right reason, so that we can one day stand before Christ and receive that eternal reward. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, I just want to thank you for another opportunity. An opportunity to be here together once again and to share your word with your people. Father, I pray now that you would do your work, that you would apply these words today to our own hearts and souls and our own lives in a way that will encourage or challenge each of us. Father, we truly want to live lives that are pleasing to you and live our lives in a way that honors you and helps others along the way. So, Father, we just pray that you would help us each to do that as we close the service, as we get ready to leave this place, and we go about our daily lives, whatever that might look like. May we live in a way that brings glory and honor to you. We ask it all in Jesus' name, and we give you praise. Amen. God bless you. Thank you for being here today. We're dismissed.